Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. So, what do you think of when I say the name Saint Lucia? Perhaps you think of the island named for her in the French West Indies. Or, at the very least, that's the first thing that comes up when you search for her on Wikipedia. If you are of the Scandinavian persuasion, the name might evoke images of a young girl wearing an evergreen wreath similar to an Advent wreath on her head with lit candles surrounding it. Yes, that is in fact the Swedish tradition for celebrating St. Lucia's Day, which was actually yesterday. That's probably what happens when you live where the sun only comes out for about 3 minutes a day. But that tradition is just a gross oversimplification of the saint herself. St. Lucia, or to anglicize it, St. Lucy, lived around the same time as Nicholas of Myra, our subject from last week, which is around the 200-300s or so. Although a lot of legends have grown up around St. Lucia, the one fact on which they all agree is that a jealous suitor had denounced her to the Roman governor of the province as a Christian, for which crime she was martyred. According to tradition, she was from a wealthy family, but gave her dowry to the poor rather than use it to get married. In the old pre-Gregorian calendar, her commemoration day was actually on the winter solstice, December 13th was the winter solstice, rather, the shortest day of the year, which is why St. Lucia's Day is so connected with light, hence the fire hazard headdress. And that is what I want to talk about for today. St. Lucia, whose name actually means light from the Latin lux, points us to the true light of Christ at a time when light is in such short supply. Now, the darkness of this time of year makes a very good illustration for the world in which we live. The sun rises later these days and sets earlier, even after the end of daylight savings time, if you can even believe it. Nights are so much longer than we perhaps would like them to be. Seasonal affective disorder, or in other words, people's mood and attitudes, gets worse when it starts to get dark earlier. And how much that is like the world around us. So often in Scripture, and particularly in the Gospel of John, darkness is used as an image of the sinful world which surrounds us, that the world around us dwells in darkness and the light shines in the darkness. John 3:19, this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and the world loved the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. The world loved the darkness over the light. Or John 12, I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. The world around us is darkness, and God is the light shining in. Now, the thing with darkness is that anything can be hiding in it. When a criminal comes to rob your house, oftentimes it will happen under the cover of darkness. When an accident happens, many times it's because it's dark and you couldn't see the edge of the closet while you were walking into it and you broke your toe. Or is that just me? Anything and anyone can hide in the darkness in which our world lives. Sin, temptation, Satan's traps, all of these things hide in the darkness of a sin-darkened world. And with the darkness in which we live, how are we to see and how are we to live? We need the light. We live in the light that comes from God. And this is the great blessing that we have as believers in Jesus Christ, that the light of Christ shines into this darkness around us. John chapter 8, Jesus says, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." The light shines in the darkness. Jesus shines in the darkness. Jesus, the light, shines so that we do not have to be afraid of the darkness, of stumbling in the darkness, because we walk in Jesus' light. That is the blessing of Christ, and that is the blessing that we see all around, through, especially in John chapter 1, that begins, "In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God," and then focuses so heavily on the light. "In the Word, Jesus was life, and the life was the light of men." The light shines in the darkness. The darkness has not overcome it. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. Jesus, the light, came into this world to shine that light, to illuminate the sin-darkened world around us. Because Jesus exposes the evil and sin of this world, there is nothing left that we have to fear. The fear of the dark isn't about the darkness itself. It's about the unknown that can be lurking in the darkness. When it is dark, I don't know whether that shadow there is my cat or a coyote. I don't know whether that thing is a table or whether it is a car. Anything can be lurking in the darkness, but the light chases it away and exposes it for what it is. When Jesus shines his light into this world, the darkness cannot overcome it. That's the thing with darkness. Darkness flees in front of light. There is nothing to darkness but the absence of light. Light is the thing that actually has substance. And so Jesus, yes, he does reveal our own sinfulness when he shines his light to expose us, but all the more he reveals that he has redeemed us. Jesus is the light of the world. But the amazing thing is that he says that about us too in our reading from tonight, from Matthew chapter 5. The reason that we for highlighting St. Lucia today is not because she was an incredible person on her own. If the legend is to be believed, she devoted her life to God and gave everything she had to the poor. If the legend is to be believed, when they came to take her away, they couldn't even move her with a team of oxen because God held her firm. They couldn't burn her because the wood wouldn't light. Her eyes were reportedly gouged out, and that's why, fun fact, she is actually connected with blindness. And then finally, she was stabbed in the throat. The legends are all interesting and fascinating, or at least they are to me, but then I'm a nerd. The legends, however, sometimes can distract from who a saint like Lucia is. Not the light herself, but a reflection of the light. St. Lucia's actions, life, death, all of it is a reflection of the blessings of God that he poured out onto her. That God's light shone on her, brought her into the faith, set her on fire with love for him. And in turn, God's light shone through her to be seen by others. That is the thing that motivated her to dedicate her life to God. That's what motivated her to give all that she had to the poor. That's what motivated her to fearlessly hold to her faith in the face of persecution. This is what people saw when they looked at her. They saw the power of God at work through her. And the same is true for you and for me. We are like St. Lucia in this way, that God's light shines on you and then shines through you into the world around you. As Jesus said, you are the light of the world in our reading for today. Or let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. The focus not being on ourselves, but on the one who has enlightened us to shine that light through us to the world. God's light has shined on you, and thus it shines out of you to those around you. The light of Christ shines through you into the world when you live as a reflection of his light. When you live according to God's will, showing love to those around you as God has shown love to you. When you provide for those in need as God has provided for you. When you retain your faith in the face of the world's mockery and derision because the Lord has shown faith to you. When people see you on fire for Christ, they don't just see you, they see the light of Christ in you. The days are getting shorter still. The sun is coming up later and setting earlier, as if that was even possible. The world around us is getting darker and darker, and you can take that both literally and metaphorically. People around us are stumbling in the darkness of sin. They are turning away from the light of Christ, ignoring the teachings of his law, and thus missing out on the soothing comforts of his gospel. The people who are walking in darkness need to see that light. And the good news of Advent is that the light has come into the world. The light shone into the darkness on that first Christmas when Jesus, the light of the world, was born in the Bethlehem stable, the light shining out from there to illuminate all the world. The darkness fought back and nailed him to a cross, blocking out the sun as the light died. And yet the sun rose again victoriously on Easter Sunday. The light of the world emerged from the tomb, bathing the world in its warmth. And now that light shines on and in and through you as well. You are the light of the world. God's light has shined on you. And as we prepare for Christmas, as we continue to await the day when the light of the world will return in glory, he continues to shine through us on the people who so desperately need to see his glory. Still today, he enlightens the world. And he does it through us. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.